Welcome to the PowerPress Podcast. My name is Mackenzie Bennett, and I'm your host. On this podcast, we share information to empower your podcast. On this week's episode, I have guest David Pollack. Say hello.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being on the show.
I'm very excited.
I came across your site and, you know, your podcast because of the affiliate program and decided that you looked like a great person to get on here.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Actually, that's funny you say that because the affiliate side is what got your attention. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because we do marketing, being an affiliate definitely works. And I think anybody that is part of your group or using your service should become an affiliate. What you guys do is awesome. And I don't mean to jump the gun here and take over the conversation, but my hat's off to Blueberry. You've made my life so simple.
Oh, I'm not going to stop you from saying that. Thank you so much. So today we have two news articles to talk about, and we're just going to jump into the first one here.
You got it.
The first article is called, How Much Should I Spend on Podcast Equipment? And this is kind of it's always up for debate. Always. Like, it comes up every couple months, I feel like. But this article was released earlier this week by Matthew McLean on The Podcast Host with Colin Gray. So we're very familiar with that team. And they've got some good advice in here.
Yes, definitely. And you know, I wish I would have done more research before I bought some of the equipment. And truly, before I started podcasting, I was doing a lot in radio. So I think maybe that's where it came from, is I had a lot more expensive equipment and thought I had to spend more than I did. Mm-hmm. I do my show a little bit differently than others, where I actually do have a production company helping me, which is a conversation we can go into later. But because of it, I kept spending all this additional money and found out you don't really need to.
No, you really don't.
Well, I want to be the best. And sometimes you think the more you spend, the better it is. And the real joke is I spent a lot on a preamp, if you will. But for me, it became a mixer board with all kinds of channels that I never needed. And I spent money for call-ins, but my production company handles that, so I didn't need that. I spent a fortune on getting the right microphone and the stand and behind it, the styrofoam, so I don't have the echo. Mm-hmm. And we had all kinds of problems hearing me still. And so maybe it's just my voice. Maybe it's me. I didn't get into this to be a podcaster. I'm more a marketer, creative person. It is a way for me to reach out to my listeners or to people that want to learn about marketing. And so I probably bought the wrong equipment. So I said, okay, let me take a different shot. And I bought a headset type so I can be more casual with it. Had the same problem after spending a bunch of money again. And then they started recommending to me a particular microphone, and you'll laugh. I had it sitting with me as a gift from a friend a long time, and I didn't use it. I didn't use it because it was not expensive.
So it didn't look fancy.
And then I found out I own it. And if I told you how long this we had gone through this and how many episodes I couldn't use because the sound was so bad, I learned. So bottom line is a long answer to a short question is you don't have to spend a fortune to get started.
You are not alone in that frustrating realm of what do I do and why is this still wrong?
You promise?
Yes. Even I went through it too.
Come on.
We did for a very long time we had all of the right equipment. It's just, it wasn't working together properly and we finally got it figured out, but it took a very long time, like almost a year to make it happen. So
You're not old enough to remember. Maybe you've saw it as a classic, the old movie, The Blues Brothers, the original.
Oh, that's actually a movie I know very well.
Okay. So in the beginning, he asked what happened to the Bluesmobile or the Cadillac, and he said that I traded it for a microphone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, once I started buying microphones, I understood the humor of that.
How you can go down the hole of microphones slowly but surely.
They saw me coming. I'm like, who knew?
They did.
But to answer the question is, yes, this article has some great advice. You know, I've actually gone with a couple different types. I've even recommended some people the Blue Yeti USB microphone, mm-hmm. which is very inexpensive to me as you get started.
That's so it's super easy to start with, and a lot of people do.
Well, and it plugs into USB if you get it, so it makes it very easy to connect. You and I are connecting very simply with Skype. So you don't need all this fancy equipment. And so it bypasses a lot of the necessary things. So I think getting started in podcasting, I say getting started, people have been doing a long time and still stay with some of the basic microphones, a great set of headphones, and a pop screen. Those are basically what you need to get started.
Yeah, actually, one of the first things that they said in this article is to start out with a USB microphone because it is so simple. If you are going to be on location or out interviewing people, then they recommend a digital recorder, which a lot of people also have, and they take to conferences and whatnot.
Now, have you tried that?
I have not personally, but I know that Todd, our CEO, is always with his recording equipment at conferences and CES and NAB especially, and definitely out there with some of the products people have and I think are mentioned in this.
Yeah. No, I see it mentioned in there, and a lot of people recommend it. I don't do that many interviews or out on the go because, again, I'm hitting just the subject of marketing and building your brand awareness. And so I probably should do more on the go. I just haven't done it yet. So maybe I just got to get more comfortable. But they do say it brings a variety to a show, and your listeners love hearing it because you're interviewing new people. You're getting out there and being more authentic. And so it is something to try. So I've not invested, but now after reading the article and talking to you, I got to try it.
We've used a digital recorder. We have a Zoom H2, which actually the battery is just kind of shot and we need a new one. But we'll use it as a backup recording. You know, anything happens to the computer, then we have that recording as well, which has come in handy for so many people. I know that Todd swears by it, so that's why he wants us to do it or wants me to do it. So also a very good idea for a lot of people, and especially in case they don't trust whatever they're recording on other than that.
Well, you hit on something also, is to make sure you've got backup, because when you commit to podcasting, at least for me, you've got to be consistent. And so if you're going to do something, you stick with it, and you publish as you say you're going to. And so if you set up everything to do it and the equipment fails, which it's not a question of if it will, it's when,
right.
You got to have a backup. And so once you get going and to me, you have proof of concept, your show's doing well, you're getting some listeners, start investing in some backup equipment.
Mm-hmm. Very good point.
I've upgraded, as you and I've talked about a little bit, starting with USB and upgrading. I say that. I went down, I started up, went down, and then came back up a little. Mm-hmm. So I bounced around.
Yeah, and I mean, that's perfectly okay, too. You work with what you want to work with.
it's supposed to be okay, but it's not for your wallet. No, save the money, but eventually I did. I upgraded a little bit, and I went with a Shure microphone and upgraded the headphones a little to make them more comfortable, and I actually invested in a cough butt, and that has been the greatest thing for me in the world.
So what exactly, I mean, I imagine what that does, but please explain it a little bit.
Yeah, no, it comes from the radio, and I guess in podcasting, you know, a lot of things should transition over, but with a cough button, I clear my throat, or maybe I've got to do something real quick, or, you know, I have a co-host, and if I need to signal or something, I can hit a button, and it doesn't make a clicking sound. It's designed for a cough, and no one can tell. And so you can actually hit the button. No one knows the wiser. I could do anything. I can cough. I could talk. I could do whatever. We have a producer, and he and I are able to chat to each other real quick and then let go, and I'm back live. And it's not a clicking sound. I'm not off and on. Nobody knows. And I found it on, I don't know if it was Amazon or eBay. They're about $40. And so one of the greatest investments I ever did was that item. And I used to do a lot of live radio that was national. And I really did. I got nervous. We were on like 300 stations across the country syndicated. And so I would get this nervous cough maybe or something. And so as I got nervous, I would hit that button a lot and clear my throat and try and get comfortable.
That actually sounds amazing. And I am longingly looking at my water bottle right now, knowing that if I take a sip, it's going to like just hear gurgle. So I understand the need for this.
I'm not at my normal equipment, and so I did not bring my cough button today, and I almost did. I said, you know what, I need to bring that to the office today, and I didn't, and I'm with you. Before we started, I took a quick sip of my water, and I go, that's it until we're done.
Yeah.
And okay, if you had a cough button, you could be taking a sip of water. Nobody would know the wiser. And the brand of it, just if anybody goes to eBay or Amazon, it's a Rolls MM11 Pro, and it was like $40. I mean, you can't go wrong. Actually, I think I asked for it as a gift, whether it was a Father's Day gift or a Christmas gift, but you would think I won the lottery when I got it.
I'm sure that would save tons of people the stress of trying to edit all of that out. So,
some of your listeners are new at this, and they're not necessarily been experienced in podcasting, correct?
Oh, yes, for sure.
Okay, so then you're like me. Now, yes, I've been doing a show for a while. I've done radio, but I've always had the crutch of a producer. So I don't know how to do all the editing you do. And
oh, right.
So if somebody's new at this, no, I don't know how to edit a cough. I don't know how to edit out a problem or whatever. So I've got to have all the tools to make my life simple.
I understand. I think it's a great idea. I really do.
So, and then the other thing I've got is when you upgrade microphones, what I'm speaking to you with now, I am actually using my headphone microphone that I mentioned earlier, just because the way we're connecting, it's because we're using Skype. I also have a Shure, S-H-U-R-E, a Shure X2U, it's called. And it's this little device that takes a professional microphone and connects it to a USB. So my headphones plug into it. It's one of the best ways to connect to your computer if you have a regular microphone. And so it just makes my life very simple.
Oh, that's real fancy. Because I have recorded a podcast when I was away from the office using a USB headset. And that would have made it sound a whole lot better because you could hear me like moving around, sitting on the bed. Like you could hear the air conditioner in the hotel room. So that probably would have helped.
Wait, and let's talk about it. You and I are going through some of the equipment, but it's imperative that people understand the sound quality to me is so critical to building your podcast. And I think some people overlook it. Bottom line, if you can hear yourself, it's good or whatever. You brought up editing software. But if it doesn't sound well, no one's going to want to sit and listen. They don't want to hear all the background noise. If I've got a strain to hear you, I hate to say it, I'm tuning out and I may never come back.
It's very important to be consistent as well, because a lot of the time people will listen to your podcast while they're doing one specific thing. They like add it to their routine. And if they're always listening in the car and it feels or sounds different every time, then they're going to be annoyed. How come I'm blaring this episode, and last time I couldn't turn it down enough.
That's a good point. So sound quality brings a level of professionalism to it. And you may have a great show, you may be fun to listen to, you may be informative, maybe it's funny, whatever your podcast's about. But if you don't have a level of professionalism, people are going to tune out.
You know, when I was dealing with the equipment dilemma that we had when we first started out, we finally got it taken care of. And I was speaking to someone that I've been friends with for a while, and he said, I unsubscribed for a little bit because I never knew what I was going to get, and I would just start to listen to an episode and I didn't want to listen to it because it sounded terrible. And I was like, I understand. I'm sorry that it turned out that way, but I understand why you would do that.
Okay, that was a friend and they tuned out.
Yes.
Now, think about that.
Yes. Like, okay, this is a person that likes me.
Right. So how many strangers, which is why we do a podcast, we're trying to engage new people and build our audience. What do you think they're doing? They're listening for a couple seconds and going, oh, this is crazy. And they move on because there's so many out there to pick from.
Exactly.
So sound quality is essential. And so, you know, we're being redundant here, but you don't have to spend a fortune. So start with invest in a good quality microphone. It doesn't have to be a $20 one. Invest a little bit more, but you don't have to spend a fortune. And the one I mentioned, the one in the article, I mean, I think they're saying here, you're looking at roughly, what, $100?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's an investment for some, yeah, but don't try
like you
and skip
don't.
Anymore.
It's not like you have to, you know, get a $100 mic very often. If you get something that you like and you think the quality is good and it's working out the way that you want it to, you know, that's a one-time investment.
That's a good point.
You have to think of it that way a little bit.
How long do microphones last?
I don't know. I haven't been podcasting long enough to really tell you that, but I imagine 5 years at the least for some of these.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Okay, last years, I've been doing stuff for years. So, you know, I've used the same equipment. So for years, you know, you're right. It's a simple, small investment. And so if you're going to do something, do it right.
Mm-hmm.
And otherwise, you're going to find you're not going to get the listeners. And you're going to go, why am I doing this? And you give up. So spend a little bit of money, get a good microphone. And then down the road, I hate to say it, the one I'm telling you I'm now using ongoing for my show is that Shure microphone. And I think I'm stretched at $100. Where I spent more money was the preamp or the mixer board and some of the other bells and whistles that I didn't need. But $100 is a good number for a microphone. There's no reason to spend more. And I did. My first microphone, I think I spent $500 on.
Yeah. For any like hobby podcaster, that's going to be too much, I assume. But for $100, that's going to be a lot more doable for a lot of people.
Yep. Yeah. And headphones don't have to be much. I mean, the headphones is so you can hear. So as long as they're comfortable is the biggest thing.
That's kind of what this article focused on overall, is spend what you are comfortable with. And if you are happy with it, stick with it. If you're not happy with it, continue to look for other solutions, but also don't drive yourself crazy over it.
And that's easy to do if you go into the store and see it.
Oh, definitely.
Do the research. Email other podcasters and ask, because anybody who does a podcast, it would be more than willing to answer questions for you. So even email somebody you already listen to.
Oh, exactly. Ask the person that has that sound that you love and ask them what they're using.
Yep.
There's no reason you can't do that.
No, I think it's some great advice. And you know, I also invested in the sound because in the room where I was doing it, there was an echo, and they weren't that expensive either. Again, Amazon and eBay have some great deals. It attaches to my microphone stand, and it prevents all the echo from the room. It's just a small piece that actually was fitted on a metal frame and sits right behind the microphone stand, attaches. And it just changed everything.
I'm sure it did. When you get that feel that you want, then your podcast can become a much different thing in your life. It takes out some of the worry and some of the hassle, and it becomes, you know, back. It goes back to the message that you want to get out to people.
Yep.
Because that's always why people start a podcast.
Well, okay, and I'm going to go with your listeners, because the listeners, you know, people that are listening to this show right now have an interest in podcasts, and I'm going to go, they're more than hobbyists, because they care enough to be listening to this show to want to learn more, okay? But they also are looking at Blueberry, and you guys bring a level of professionalism to the service that truly, as I got into this, didn't know existed. And I looked, trust me, I looked at all your competitors, and there's a lot, I don't know if I could say they even are competitors, but people that try and do what you do, and it's a whole different level.
Well, thank you. That's what we're trying to do.
You're doing it. You're doing it. From an outsider, you're doing it. And if everybody's listening thinks that I'm somehow tied, I'm not. I am not. I do a podcast. I got into it from radio. Radio to me is dying, so I wanted a different way to reach the audience. And from my website, and I'll just, if you don't mind for a minute, I'll brag about you.
Okay, go for it. Whatever you, I'm curious. I'm curious where this is going.
No. Okay. So when is at first I looked at why should I even host with you my shows versus doing it on my own website? And quickly, you guys did have information, but I no offense, I don't trust people. I sit and go look, and I'm a little cynical, and I go look at other places. But come to find out, if you host all my shows, not only taking up space, number two, you're slowing down my website, which is okay if I have one or two listeners. But if I actually get a listenership that I was shooting for, there's no way my website could handle it. And again, it could be against terms of service, which you have pointed out to me in the past. I kind of ignored that. I think they'll never know, you know.
Exactly.
But by you hosting it, that was number one, is you kept the speed of my website. And as a marketer, I can tell you, the website speed is critical. I teach that to people, just even in the graphics they use and keeping the size down, all these things you can do to keep the download speeds going on a web page. And yet I almost slowed my own website down with a podcast. And so A, you solved my problem there. B, the analytics I love, but I'm going to tell you one of the biggest things you do. You help feed my show and made it so simple for me to get into iTunes and Android, to all the different points of distribution with a plugin on my website. And I'm saying this to be sincere. I'm not trying to promote you guys. I'm saying this because it's so important to anybody listening to this who's not already a customer. Matter of fact, before they go to your website, they should go through my affiliate link. No, I'm kidding. seriously, it made my life so simple, because I started looking at how do I get onto iTunes? How do I go into Droid? And there's people that'll pay. I have to pay to do that. You guys do it through a plugin. There are other services that offer it. But the other thing, the biggest thing you do, I'm a control freak. You allow me to own my feed. So by using you, I was able to own the URL that feeds to iTunes, because I did have other services, including the production company that does my show, offered to do it for me. Problem is, if I ever left them, I'd lose that.
Yep. That is one of our absolute biggest things, is that we want you to own your feed.
I mean, and so I learned so much from you guys and implemented it. So my show instantly went all over iTunes, Droid. It made it easy for people to get to listen to it. There was all kinds of things you did to help me build the listenership. And so you basically made everything simple. And then you've got the analytics. And people say analytics a lot, and some people don't listen to it or not. At the end of the day, if you don't read a lot of them, I'll leave that alone. That's a whole nother conversation. At least look at how many listeners you've got. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be trillions. The way I look at it is, if I used to go all over and give speeches to get my message out there, to reach a new audience, to try and get new clients, et cetera. But every time I was asked to be a guest speaker, the number of people in that room was why I went. Whether it's 100 people, 300 people, 1,000 people, that's how many people I reach when I speak. So I'd prepare a speech, I'd fly there, I'd speak for the day, fly home. It's a 3-4 day event. Now I can reach larger audiences with my podcast without all of that. So you guys with the analytics allow me to quickly see the size audience that I'm reaching. Mm-hmm. And that's huge.
It really is. Taking what you've been doing and flying all over the place and putting it in your podcast, which is twice a week, right?
Yes, that is correct. Every Monday and Thursday at 8 a.m.
That is super easy to get that done, as opposed to one speech to, you know, the equivalent of the amount of people that will listen to your episode, you get done at home in one day, and then you get to do it again a couple days later. That's insane.
Okay, let's talk for a minute why I did it, because this is going to help your listeners.
Okay.
Okay, number one, twice a month, I spend 1 hour and record 5 episodes. They're 10 minutes each. It's called the 10-Minute Marketer. So I can, in 1 hour, record 10 episodes, or sorry, 5 episodes in 10 minutes, and I do it twice a month. That fills up the month with a little bit extra, so I can take time off now and then. So it's basically 2 hours a month I spend on it. Now, let me help you. The other thing I learned in all this, okay, iTunes measures you by downloads. So if you do a once-a-week show that's an hour long, it's a lot of time. Great for you. But if you did a daily show, you've got 5 times the number of downloads.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have that time to put into it, so I do it twice a week. But in doing so, I just doubled my number of downloads than I originally was going to do a weekly show. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wait a minute, I'm going to double it. And that's why I went with a short, so we cover a certain subject in 10 minutes and we're done. It's easy to listen to. Your drive time short. Yeah, some people, depends where you live, maybe longer. You can listen to a few episodes then. But bottom line is, you're downloading it more often, bringing my ratings up. Mm-hmm. And so these are some just simple tips. And so I'm able to reach a large audience and do it with only a couple hours a month.
It's insane. That marketing idea is crazy. Okay. So we're obviously talking about your site and your podcast, The 10-Minute Marketer. And how did you choose to move into podcasting from radio and go this route?
Radio, you know, that's a tough one. Radio, I was thrilled because it sounds big. I'm a lot older than you. I'm in my 50s, okay? And so I'm used to radio, so to do anything on radio sounds big. But reality is you've got to look at conversion and monetizing, mm-hmm. and that's business. And real quickly, I started watching that over time, audiences slowly reduce. So you're fighting for airtime on stations. They're trying to find better ways to monetize their time. It's harder to get on the air, and less people are listening. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. Same's happening in TV.
None of that sounds good.
Well, okay, with a podcast, I control my distribution. I control the time. I control where it goes. I'm not at the mercy of station managers begging hundreds of them across the station and working it as a full-time job. This is just very simple. And so iTunes is now promoting me. And so because if I'm making the top ranking or you're in iTunes, they have a captive audience of millions and millions of people that I can be exposed to. Same with Android. So all of a sudden I said, you know what? This is the future. Your generation downloads everything. Cable TV is mm-hmm. gone. And so this is the way to reach all ages now. And people can subscribe on their phone. It keeps feeding to them. I'm developing a mobile app right now using a plugin that you've recommended.
Oh.
Reactor.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not an expert on it. So I've got somebody helping me who's half my age, but we're going to have it up soon. But point is, I can now publish and reach an audience very simple in doing so. And that's what podcasting allowed me to do, is control it. You couldn't do a 10-minute show on radio. They gave me a choice, 30 minutes or an hour. They picked odd time slots. This gives me total control of my show. I've got a very focused audience. And so what's the old saying? I'll be careful how I say it, but throw enough stuff on the wall and see what sticks.
Right.
That's radio. If I have 250,000 people in that city where I am, but only 5 are listening, or 5,000, that's your audience. Maybe it's, you know, a very small amount. You laugh. Go look at the Nielsen ratings of the top TV shows these days. When I was younger, MASH, the final episode, and I think Who Shot JR, those are the two shows that all-time ranked the biggest viewership outside, I'm going to say, the NFL football, Super Bowl, but in TV shows, okay? You'll never get that again, because now you have so many channels to watch and so many people downloading, and that's what's happened to radio. Everybody's left all that. And so that's why I wanted to get into podcasting. It is the way to get my ideal audience, to get a focused audience, reach those that matter, and have control over it.
And have you been working in the marketing sense even when you were in radio? Or is this new for your podcast?
No, it's new for my podcast.
Okay.
Actually, my background is product development and marketing. And so I've done a lot of product development over the years. I've talked on many subjects over the years on radio, co-hosting a show, doing a show, a lot in health and beauty. But my marketing side is where a lot of my clients always came to me. And I think what got me going was so many people were coming to me and asking me to consult. And I've consulted with some large companies. I was a VP at Home Shopping at one point in my career. And I keep teaching everybody the same thing over and over and over. And the frustration to me is not everybody listens. I have experience. People bring you in, but then they don't follow it all. And then they wonder why it doesn't always work. And I thought, you know what? I'm driving myself crazy. What I want to do is teach people, get them to understand it, and that way they can implement it themselves. And if there's problems, they didn't follow it, they can go back and say, I didn't fully listen to them. Let me listen to them again, and this time follow it. And podcasting allowed me to do that. And so I can teach different subjects and people can go back on my website, go through the archives. And we're always updating the website. There'll be a little more organization coming now that we have so many shows. But that's what got me doing it. And marketing is probably what I enjoy the most. It is just so much fun for me.
And you know, I think people are a lot more motivated to listen to a 10-minute, I mean, this isn't even the correct word, presentation, as opposed to a half hour, 45 minutes, an hour. They take in 10 minutes of information a whole lot better than a half hour of information.
You know, it rang, again, I don't mean to keep pointing out your age, but you are younger than me. Did you ever go to see Ringling Brothers, the circus?
No, I did not.
Oh, you're killing me. Growing up, any of the older listeners will appreciate this. Growing up, I got to go as a kid. And when I got older and had a son, I took him. It was like a big deal to get to go. Mm-hmm. And they just closed, or they're closing. They've announced they're closing. So Right. They're down to their final shows. Okay. And one of the things they said was, there's no way people have an attention span that'll last 10 minutes anymore. So even for them, having all this stuff and all this activity, the world has changed. And so to get somebody to listen to a 30-minute or one-hour show is very difficult, let alone it's tough to do as the person recording it or putting on the show or presentation, as you said. 10 minutes is easier for me. And so it's an easier commitment because, you know, as I said earlier, you've got to be consistent. And so I do it twice a week. I never miss, but I can record a bunch and put them in the can, if you will, and have them waiting to be published. So I could take a couple months off if it was a daily hour show or a 2-hour show once a week, that's a little more cumbersome and hard to keep that commitment. And I think that's important, is that commitment side.
So your show is about marketing, and do you ever share any tips, or do you have any tips of two people about how they can either market their podcast or how they can use their podcast for marketing their product?
Well, good question. And what I take from that question is, you don't subscribe, and you should. And you have 10 minutes, you can't tell me you don't. Yes, every episode, Mondays are more informational and tips, and Thursdays are more inspirational, where we speak with entrepreneurs that are going through different things and building their business. What was their aha moment, and what were some of their obstacles? So we all realize we're not all going through this alone. There are other people that have had the same obstacles or some of the same frustrations and are successful. But Mondays, I definitely share tips. Some are on podcasting and some are on different things. You know, podcasting to me is a piece of a puzzle. To me, marketing, I always call it like a jigsaw puzzle. Influential marketing is a word you hear today. You hear buzzwords of a marketing funnel. You know, those that aren't marketers don't know what all that means. But a marketing funnel is really getting an audience at the top of the funnel and work your way down as you build that relationship. And at the bottom of the funnel, very few trickle out. That's where you make your sale. That's where that term comes from. Podcasting is part of that. When you have a podcast, it's like writing a book and being an author. It's like writing for blogs or guest blogging or being a guest on a show like today. It gives credibility to me as a person of what I do. And number two, it exposes me to a new audience. And to me, that's what part of podcasting is all about. So again, a long answer to a short question. We do talk about all these things I'm telling you about, of how marketing is about influential marketing, how to build your credibility, how to engage your audience, and go after your ideal client. Quit going after the old days where you run an ad and go after millions of people and hope it connects with somebody. Mm-hmm. Majority of people don't have an interest. So you want to spend your time, money, and effort going after a target audience. And that's what we talk about.
Do you have guests on your shows often, or is it like every episode, or what is that format?
The original format was every Monday is myself and my co-host. And you'll laugh, my co-host knows nothing about marketing. And that's why I brought her on.
That's true. That's always you get that, you know, that opposites dynamic.
Well, I was going to say, not because I have a big ego, but reality is I would get boring otherwise. She's funny. And she'll ask questions and come at it from the listener's side and keep me a little bit more lighthearted. So it's not a boring lecture like you're in college. And she and I talk about things and now and then get sidetracked and we laugh and we have a fun time with it. And what we don't cover, we put links on the website and we'll do it again the following Monday and cover some more. We have guests typically every Thursday now and then. We sprinkle some more in on Mondays as well. So we do have some rotating guests. We have some very interesting people. And so in all areas, but I love it because I'm learning as well. As much as I've done this for 20 some odd years, I'm learning from people as well. And not just entrepreneurs that have gone through problems. I mean, I've been an executive at big companies. I've run my own company. I've helped people build their companies. And to hear some of the other problems that they've faced is very interesting. To hear how they got through it is very interesting to me. And then now and then I get different tips, just like I mentioned a little while ago, do your show more often and make it shorter, because the number of downloads with iTunes is how it ranks you. And so those are the type of tips that actually someone taught me.
Oh, right.
That's how you learn. None of us know everything. We all learn together. And so while I have a knowledge of experience, you know, which I could bore you with, but I try and go through that, but also having guests on. So we have a lot of fun. So if any of your listeners are entrepreneurs, you know, please go to our website and email us. We love to have entrepreneurs. Maybe they've got questions. Ask me some. And that's actually a new section we want to add, is having people call in and ask us questions. Because at the end of the day, I want to help entrepreneurs build their business. So an entrepreneur isn't just somebody who's just starting, but it also, some people have some good-sized companies. I've consulted with companies doing, you know, a few million up to in the hundreds of millions. And they all, you'd be surprised at the amount of help they need and what marketing knowledge they don't have, is despite their size. It's very interesting to me.
You've obviously got a ton of experience with all of this. But what would you say is one of the ways that PowerPress is helping your show marketing-wise, like on your website?
The biggest thing you do for me is make my life simple. The 10-Minute Marketer is how to do marketing in 10 minutes a day, not just my show, but we want to give you tips that an entrepreneur can implement in 10 minutes a day. I don't have time to edit my show. I barely have enough time to record it. I keep busy with what I'm trying to do with helping clients. I don't have time to publish my show and distribute it. I don't have time to figure out how to go to iTunes and interview people of who's going to help me do it all. You do it all in a plugin. And I swear to you, I click, 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 and it's done. So you save me a fortune in time. You save me a fortune from having to hire somebody else to do it. It's kind of like social media. A lot of people hire somebody to do their social media. I normally would hire someone to have to do this show. I used to have somebody help me a lot with my radio show. I don't need it now. You guys make it all very, 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 very simple.
We're happy. We're happy to do that.
Yeah, no, it's the truth. And that's the biggest thing. If you're going to do a podcast, unless you don't have a job, okay, then you got the time, go do it and good luck.
Yeah.
But those of you that have a job or are trying to build a business, you don't have the time. And everything, there's an old saying, you don't know what you don't know. Well, guess what? PowerPress knows it, and they make your life simple.
You have been one of the easiest people to see if you were using PowerPress, because I come across websites every day, and almost every day I am looking at them and checking to see if they use PowerPress, to see if I would want them to come on the show or if they can, depending on whether or not they use PowerPress. And by far, like the, you know, within 30 seconds of looking at your page, I knew that you were using PowerPress based on the way that it was set up and the fact that I found your subscribe widget, where you can subscribe any way that you want to, Android, iTunes, RSS, you know, whatever it is that you have on there. That was what stood out to me, and that is how you get listeners too.
Well, okay, let's talk about that for a minute. When I first signed up, everybody does a webinar. Every company, no matter where you sign up, they want to do a webinar. And you guys offered one, and I signed up for it. And to be honest, I had no intention of doing it. And then I thought, well, here's a plug-in with some things. I'm really a little nervous about doing a podcast, because I had not done a podcast now. I've done radio, not podcast, totally different animals. And so I listened to it kind of, I have two screens on my desk, so I'm watching it on one, kind of half listening. And all of a sudden, and I forget the guy's name, forgive me, but he was amazing. All of a sudden, he caught my attention the way he's explaining it. I'm going, you know what? I think I'm going to pay a little bit more attention to this. And I watch him. Well, then on my other screen, I brought up my website and let him walk me through it. Well, I go click, click, click. By the time he was done in 20, 30 minutes, whatever that webinar is, I actually set everything up. And everything you're describing was all the pieces of the puzzle put together for getting a podcast up. How do I get people to subscribe? Well, it's a click of a button. As you said, when you went to my site, there's all these options. I didn't do it. You guys showed me how in that 20 minutes. And seriously, I brag about you to anybody going into podcasting. I don't think I would ever do it without you. And that's why. I wouldn't trust some of the other companies because I don't own my feed. For those that don't get what that is, I think it was on your blog, wasn't it,
yeah.
Mackenzie?
Yes.
Okay. So you go look at the blog. Where on the blog? How do they find it? Because this to me is one of the biggest things you got to read.
I assume that you're talking about an article on the PowerPress podcast, like a blog that we put on there.
Yeah.
We also talk about this on our website all the time, especially in our podcasting manual. So I can link, I can find it, track down which one that you are talking about, because we have multiple of these, and put it in the show notes.
Okay, put it in the show notes, which I want to talk about in 1 second. But that's critical to me. And now think about that for a minute. If you had a web host and you invest all this money in a website, you do all this work to make your website so wonderful, and that web host closed with no notice.
Right.
Everything's gone. Okay, with you, I own my feed. So and I keep copies of my show. So you make my life simple. But if something were to happen to you, God forbid, okay, I control the feed and I can be back up with iTunes pretty quickly. I may not know the technical side. I'll get somebody, maybe down for a couple of days, but I don't lose everything. Where with some of your competitors, I lose everything.
And you're literally starting from scratch at that point.
After the amount of time, money, and energy, effort, and all the guests, there's no way I'm losing all that. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's gold to me. So no, you guys allow me to have control, yet you make my life simple. I can't go on. I bragging enough. And this is I think it'll be interesting. I'm going to spill. You emailed me earlier and asked me a question of what ways, how could I improve what you do or help market it?
Mm-hmm.
It's a challenge for me. I don't know what I would change or improve. I told you I thought of something the other day, and I'm going to have to think of it and get back to you because it wasn't big enough to stand in my head. And I'm hard pressed to come up with something. You've come up with almost everything. I can't think of anything. And I can't tell you that about others. I have tried. I did look at others. I did free trials with everybody as I was playing around. And some are complicated. I couldn't get started. So, you know, for anybody thinking about getting into podcasts, we talked a little bit about equipment. It doesn't have to cost much to get started. What you guys do, you make my life simple and you don't charge much. Don't tell anybody that because I don't want you raising your rates. But seriously, it's awesome to me. It really is.
I'm so happy that you are able to have this be such a simple thing with our services because that's exactly what we're trying to do on a regular basis. And, you know, you say that you can't think of anything that you would like to change right now, but the more that you podcast and the longer that you go on with this, then you start to think of things. And a lot of the time people start out that are starting podcasts, they don't know what questions to ask because they don't know enough. They don't understand this enough. They don't know what can happen or what they necessarily should be doing, like the best practices and things like that. So it comes when it comes.
I'll summarize it real quick. I delayed launching my podcast for the longest time mm-hmm. because I needed help. I use a producer and a production company. And without going into why, well, the simple reason is because I don't know how to edit myself. I had people offer. And I thought by the time I do a mixer board and get somebody calling in or tie in somebody and I have to go through all this rigmarole, it's not happening. So my show kept getting delayed for months. Once I did get somebody to help me to make my life simple and found you guys, boom, I was up a week later. And I think anybody who's thinking about doing a podcast or have not used your system yet, try it and watch how simple every aspect is. Publishing it on your website, getting distribution, et cetera, getting people to subscribe. And if you're not on iTunes and some of the other places, you're missing out. They've got a captive audience and will promote people to you, which is why you're doing this, to get an audience. So I sing your praises with that. I did want to say, you mentioned show notes, and I said I want to jump back to that.
Right.
And we do talk marketing tips. Show notes, I don't know if you understand why to do show notes.
It's super important to actually give more people information and SEO and just people finding your site. Yeah, it's insane.
You got it, but not everybody does.
Yeah.
And so to say that again so everybody gets it is you post show notes because first, people learn differently. Okay, most of us guys are visual. Some may be audio. And so you hear it, okay, like in school, I did better reading. But that's why a school teacher writes on the blackboard as they talk, is because some people are visual, some are audio, some need the reinforcement. A show note allows that. Show notes also are a summary, so I can quickly go look at them and go, wait, I want to learn more. I'm going to listen to the show. And thirdly, because of SEO. So Google and all is going to pick up all these keywords, so when someone's looking for it, it brings them to my show. And those have been huge for me.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
Well, I don't know who does your show notes, but I'm going to tell you a little tip. I found somebody on Fiverr. And if you're not familiar with Fiverr, Fiverr.com, for $5, I found somebody that'll do my show notes. So every time I do a show, quick, boom, 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 I pay a couple bucks and I get a bunch of show notes done. My life's even simpler again. I sound lazy, don't I?
No, you sound very much like other podcasters out there.
Oh, okay, good. Okay, you see, I'm not in the podcast. I do a podcast show. I'm doing well, I think, with it. But I don't consider myself in the middle of this podcast profession like everybody else because I haven't been doing it that long. It's what I'm doing to build my audience and get my message out there. But I don't necessarily think of myself as a big podcaster. So I don't know what the others do.
You know, as we're talking about SEO right now, we want to start getting more PowerPress tips. in these episodes. So I'm going to start doing that today. And surprisingly, it is about SEO. So I asked Angelo earlier today, give me something that I can easily explain to people. And this is about making the SEO stand out on your website more. Mm-hmm. And it allows you to make your blog post title optimized for web SEO so that you can exclude including your episode number, for example. Mm-hmm. Like if you typically put, you know, episode 34 or whatever in your title, that can be in like on your blog, but not necessarily on your feed. So it just depends on where you want to put it. So I can give you more detailed instructions on this in the show notes. But one thing to keep in mind with your title is that iTunes only includes your episode and program titles. It does not index your show notes. So whatever you put in your show notes that you're hoping will make your episode or your podcast be found in iTunes, that's not going to work. So you have to get people in with your podcast title.
Now I've got to look at how I'm doing my titles.
Right.
Wow. Right. Okay.
I know. It's a lot to take in sometimes, but that's something that is kind of finicky with iTunes because everyone will focus on your show notes, but since no one is, you know, they can't index all of that. That's insane. The amount of stuff that people have for their show notes, that's too much. So they don't do it. So
yeah, as you're speaking, I'm going to my website now, trying to look at how I do it. and you'll laugh. I don't know if I know. Okay, I know how I link it. So you're saying in the show title of how I save it, or the show name that I give it on my webpage?
On your webpage.
Oh, there I'm good. Okay, no, yep. I don't use numbers. I have the actual title. Okay, yep. So I'm good.
That's what you should do. Yes.
But see, I just showed you. I don't know at all about podcasting, and look how easy you made my life.
I mean, I learned this. I'm sure I've talked about this before too, but if it actually staying in my memory is a little different. So these PowerPress tips are helpful to everyone, myself included.
Well, the other thing is you guys do a plugin, and that's how I use you. So most of the listeners, I assume, are WordPress based. Would that be a true statement?
Yes. I think actually 1 in 6 podcasts that are out there are on WordPress. So
I added the plugin Yoast to help me with SEO. So mm-hmm. Just a good tip that'll help you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That is one of the ones that we will recommend that you do.
Awesome. Awesome. I do invite the listeners to come check out the 10minutemarketer.com and or find us on iTunes or on Android. But go to the website. Then they can see you in action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because and I'm going to have a link to your show in our show notes as well.
That's the other cool thing is the player you have. It's different than everybody else's. And I think that's another thing that attracted me because it uses our graphic. It makes it very simple for somebody to download the show, to play it, to jump ahead or back. And that was another thing I looked at because when I was using other feeds, not everybody had nice players or I could find my own player. And again, you're making my life difficult at that point. So you guys have everything together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we put a lot of time and effort into that player to figure out what people want and then what are the essentials as well.
Oh, I'll give you two things. It makes me look professional, and your name is nowhere on it. And yes. So you make me look good.
Yes, we are. Our name is not going to go on there.
See, and y'all can't see me as I'm speaking, but I look good.
They got to go to your website to see that.
Well, that may not show it either. My picture's there, but my player looks good.
Yes.
No, check out the site and you'll see. You guys make it look professional. So if you were going to see my website or podcast for the first time, you'd say, wow, this is a show that's together. This is a professional company. And that's how it comes across. And that's because of you. And you know, when I've gone to other websites and somebody doesn't look professional, I don't take them serious.
I'm in the same boat.
I think everybody is. And it doesn't matter the category, but I'm not going to spend money with somebody I don't trust. And so somebody's website and how professional they are goes back to sound quality we talked at the beginning, but the sound quality, the visuals, the show notes, you know, all those things are going to help somebody. Think about why you do your podcast and just make it all professional. And that's going to help build the audience and just going to help you convert your audience to whatever product you sell or service you offer. But, you know, it's all about monetizing in the end.
That is a big thing for a lot of podcasters out there, whether they realize it or not, when they start out, it happens. Or they get into that idea and they want to make it happen.
Yep. And that would be my other suggestion. I'm not into running commercials on mine. I know some people do, but and I've had people offer. I've stayed authentic and get my message out. And then I want my audience to come to my website and monetize it through my products or services, not through commercials.
I mean, I've accepted the commercials and the advertisements and everything in podcasts, but I don't think I would want to hear one in a show that is only 10 minutes. So thank you for that.
Good point. Good point. No, some people do. They put them at the beginning, the middle, the end, and they make all these, you know, and I'm thinking, it's not what I want to do. If in 10 minutes, you're definitely right. You know, I wouldn't want to open and close, but it'd be a 12-minute show where I just got cut out. So.
Right. That's quality time that you can't lose right there.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Well, David, thank you so much for telling me all about your show and our listeners and, you know, really diving into some of the aspects of PowerPress and Blueberry with me.
Well, I had a lot of fun. You just liked it because I bragged about you, but I mean it from the heart.
That's not what I expected to happen, but it did.
You can send your payments via PayPal. No. And to be true with the listeners is, you know, we agreed that I'd be on to talk about a couple things today. One was about the sound and how important the microphone. This is something that's from the heart and it's very authentic. And so, you know, I truly mean it. Check out my website and not just because I'm trying to get you to my website, check it out and test their player and see how it looks on my site and see how it works for you and then try it. And you're going to be just as sold as I was. And people can go see that webinar I attended, right? Without even signing up, or do they have to sign up for the trial?
It depends. It's all up to them. We have recordings of these webinars, or you can sit in on a live one. We do them all the time. I think there's one coming up next Thursday or Wednesday. Okay. So yeah.
Greatest thing in the world. I'm telling you, I'm serious because I don't attend all of them. And that, you know, and everybody's offering them. That one was awesome.
Good. Thank you.
Okay. I know you were trying to shut me up because I'll keep going for hours. So thank you very much for having me. And thank you for everybody who's listening, still with us and hasn't hung up on me here.
Okay. Well, we do have one last news clip to talk about. So,
okay, go.
All right. This one is from Paste Magazine, which I am very familiar with. I've been reading their stuff for years now. But they came up with a cool concept of something to do. And so there's movie critics, TV critics, music, basically any type of media out there. And now they have created I guess they're calling it the Pod People. But it is a group of people at Pace Magazine that are going to be reviewing podcast episodes and recommending some. So they're going to be doing this every week.
And I think that's awesome. That's an awesome idea.
I think it's so cool.
Okay, how do I get involved is the key.
Well, okay, so they are asking for suggestions. They want you to email them at podpeople@pacemagazine.com and tell them about an episode and why you liked it. Because, you know, they're not really shooting for anything specific here, but they specifically want to shine a light on emerging podcasters, marginalized voices, and episodes that might have gotten lost in the archives. So this could be, you know, episodes from 3 years ago that stuck with you, that stuck in your head and changed something for you, and you want other people to hear it as well.
I've got one I've got to write about then. It's how Coke was originally priced for a dime or something for so many years. And it was the most interesting podcast I think I've listened to because I learned so much about Coca-Cola that I never knew existed. And it was actually humorous, interesting story over their time. But yeah, there are a lot of good podcasts out there. They're not all business. I mean, everybody has different stories and it's interesting. So pod to send us, like you said, to Pace Magazine, it's not just podcasters doing it. It's all the listeners writing about their mm-hmm. favorite shows.
Mm-hmm. They want your opinions. They want your suggestions. And this article that we're talking about came out on January 13th. And then that's the one that I found. And then I found another one from January 20th. They came out with like their first article about it. The 10 podcasts from Pod People. Peace, love, and understanding in our post-inaugural times. So it's been a big month here in the United States, obviously. And in that, around the rest of the world as well. And so these are the ones that stood out, whether they are recent episodes or not, but things that are relevant to people now in this day and age, in this specific month.
I think the greatest idea would be to take this to a different level. And every listener right now should email podpeople@pacemagazine.com and tell them your favorite episode of the 10-Minute Marketer.
That's a good idea.
Matter of fact, submit two.
That's a good idea, man. You really are. You like your marketing is the forefront of your brain at all times.
Just a big ego.
That's amazing.
No, I think that's awesome because all of us have different, and I don't mean just my shows, is everybody does have a favorite show. I told you I had one on Coca-Cola. I've got to go back through because a couple of us emailed them to each other, different friends. We were sharing it. I wish I could remember the whole story right now because it's probably from a year ago, but it is. It's an old episode and I'd love to share it with people. But everybody's got to have a favorite subject or a favorite podcast that they'd love to share for one reason or other.
I know, and I'm sure I have a bunch of these episodes, but when I listen to a podcast, I just automatically delete it. So now, like, all these ones that are stuck in my head, I have to figure out what they are.
You delete them?
I do. Gotta, because they're on my phone, so they take up space, so I get rid of them. I listen, and then I delete them.
Get a bigger SD card and keep all of mine.
I know. I actually was looking at my phone today, and I saw that I had 50 episodes from one show, and I was like, maybe I should go through that one. Maybe I should go through the old episodes.
How many different podcasts do you subscribe to?
Okay, well, I have a bad answer to that because I don't subscribe. I'm a terrible listener. I don't subscribe. I just know the podcasts that I like, and I will go through their feed and download the ones that I want.
Okay.
But out of those, I'd say probably 15 or so, 15, 20.
Okay. I think the other big tip is make sure to mention in your show, you know, whatever your show is to make sure to invite people to subscribe so they never miss an episode.
I know. I'm terrible. I tell people to subscribe to this show all the time, and then I don't subscribe to other people's shows. I'm a terrible, like, I'm a hypocrite.
Well, okay, but if you're consistent when they're published or people are consistent, you'd at least go back and get it because you know when it's being published. And I think that goes back to if you're in podcasting, make sure to be consistent.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I know their schedule, and a lot of the time, the ones that I really care about, like, I'll follow on social media. And when I see that what the episode title is, or if they, you know, give a little insight into what it is, then I'll definitely go get it.
Not everybody's consistent. I think that's an important thing for everybody to get. I learned that from radio, is be consistent. You know, everybody knows when to tune in or come download your show.
Mm-hmm. It's very, very true.
You've got a feature, the email one, because whether you're consistent or not, you've got people can subscribe. If they don't subscribe, I'm sorry, they can be alerted with an email button. So I don't have to set up an email system. I can click that, add my name, and it'll email me out when a new episode is published.
See, that is why, like, it's called subscribe by email, and I use it because,
for some
of the shows, I'll use it because it'll tell me, it'll give me, you know, a link to the show notes, it'll tell me the title, and that right there is how I decide if I want to go and download it a lot of the time.
There would be a tip for you. Allow me to customize that email a little bit. Yeah, I know there may be reasons I can't put a whole lot, but allow a little bit of customization would be cool.
Okay. So I can take that back to our team.
See, I just thought of something. But if that's the worst I can throw stones at, you guys are doing great.
Thank you.
So, awesome.
Yes. Okay. So, overall, today we talked about equipment and basically go with what you're comfortable with. Your show, which the 10-Minute Marketer seems to be doing very well, and you seem very happy with it.
I love it. I subscribe.
Yes. And then we just talked about the pod people from Pace Magazine, and they want to hear about your favorite episodes so that they can share them with the world.
I honestly, all kidding aside, not promoting my show, everybody should be challenged and pick a favorite podcast from whoever your podcaster is and send one into the magazine. I think that's so awesome.
I know. It's also kind of fun. It's like, will they pick what I suggested? That's always fun to find out too.
I think they should pick whatever I suggest.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm looking at what they have now, and okay, they have 10, and honestly, I have heard of one of these shows. Okay, no, two. One I actually listen to on a very consistent basis, and the other that I have heard of. So that's 8 shows I've never heard of before, and I work in podcasting, so that's pretty awesome.
It is. And if somebody's recommending it, you know it's going to be decent. So definitely worth at least trying.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
I love the concept. That's great. I've got to start promoting them.
I think it's super cool.
It is. Good find.
Thank you. Okay, everyone. I think that's all we have for this episode. And thank you so much for listening. Thank you, David, for being on. It has been a pleasure having you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me. It's been an honor, but I've had a real lot. I have a lot of respect for what you do, not just podcasting, but PowerPress and Blueberry. So I want to thank you for having me.
Mm-hmm. And thanks, everyone, for listening. We could not do this without you. And please subscribe to the show because we know that I am not good at
I'll go subscribe for you.
Thank you. Thank you. I've got one person in my corner.
Mom and David.
Yeah. My mom doesn't even know how to subscribe.
Mine doesn't either, but it's another story.
It really is. Okay. Thank you, everyone, for listening.